Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So, I guess I'm an environmentalist now. I didn't think I was, but apparently I am. I saw a headline, and the headline is, "Two face felony charges over balloon pollution." And I thought, okay, what are we doing here? And then I looked at the witness video on Instagram, the qualified captain, and I thought, yeah, they deserve it. It's agonizing. So a 26-year-old woman and a 29-year-old man are facing criminal charges over the disposal of balloons into Biscayne Bay down in Florida. And they were used to decorate a yacht during a marriage proposal. So, and you think, oh, the balloons on a yacht. Yeah, they had this whole front end of the boat covered in these balloons for the proposal. And at the end, you see the video, and these guys are just popping the balloons, just popping them. And the, you know, the debris from the balloons are going into the bay. It's really unimaginable. Like, I can't believe someone would actually do that. So Miami-Dade police officers have issued civil citations with more than $23,000 in fines for the illegal dumping at the Bayshore Landing Marina in Coconut Grove. And the couple, who were both working on the boat, although I don't think they had anything to do with the balloon popping, he was arrested on Wednesday and she was arrested on Friday, and they both are facing charges of willful disregard for the environment, third-degree felony, punishable with a fine of up to $50,000 or imprisonment for 5 years, or both. And she has a bond of $5,000. The guy initially was arrested on a charge of reckless disregard for the environment, which is a second-degree misdemeanor. That's only 10 grand and 60 days in jail, or both. His bond was set at $500. Although the detective on the case later clarified, yeah, there was a mistake in the charge. So, sorry. And not everyone who received a $2,510 citation actually touched the balloons or was present for the celebration. So they have fined the owner of the charter yacht, the event coordinator, the person in charge of the charter company, and they cited one, two, three, four other workers. It's pretty incredible that they would just pop the balloons over the water like that. I mean, that is willful disregard for the environment, and it's they deserve what they get for that. And had no one caught it on video, like the qualified captain posted on Instagram, there would have been nothing done. And do I want fish and birds and turtles eating balloon debris? No, I do not. So as I said, I believe that I am an environmentalist now. I know. I didn't think I could actually, well, I knew, you know, I'm all for the environment. I just think that some of these rules are incredibly dumb. This, however, is not. So I'm an environmentalist and damn proud of it. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So way back in April, a little over a month ago, April of 2022, Moderna announced that Jorge Gomez, or George Gomez, J-O-R-G-E Gomez, would be taking over as CFO on May 9th of 2022. And it was a privilege for him to join an organization that was focused on developing transformative medicines to address major public health care challenges worldwide. I look forward to working with the team on this great mission. That was a quote from Mr. Gomez. Now, on May 10th, he quit. He had the job for one day, and he then decided that, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this job anymore. I'm out. Sure, I'm going to go ahead and take the $700,000 salary with me. I know, I'm not going to be able to get the signing bonus or future bonuses within that 1 year period, but I'm taking the $700,000 with me, okay? And sure, board member and former Hillrom CEO is going to serve as interim CFO, but I can't do it anymore. But I know you were all happy and wanted the job and everything, and I thought you were going to move in. Yeah, well, the day that I quit, the company that I used to work for has an ongoing investigation into certain matters, including financial reporting. Oh, you mean there was a problem? Yeah, there were, you know, issues with, you know, incentives and paying out extra money for dental suppliers' products, and you know, they just weren't properly accounted for. Wait, what? Yeah, that's an internal. It had nothing to do with me, though. I've just decided that I don't want to be the CFO at Moderna anymore. So let me take my $700,000 and get the heck out of here, okay? All right, Mr. Gomez, you take care. Good luck, God bless. I'm sure that there won't be any criminal investigations or charges from the last company, Dense Supply, Serona Incorporated. I'm sure that you, as Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of that company, that's doing an internal investigation on some ongoing financial issues, you won't have anything to do with that. You just didn't want to be in charge of Moderna anymore. We got it. No problem. Take your $700,000 and go home. Okay? All right. Take care. I mean, you know that he was trying to just sneak out of there before everything was investigated. Maybe they wouldn't notice. I could just get out of there, head over to Moderna, get settled in. Everything will be fine. Even if they start investigating after I'm already at Moderna, I'll be long gone and they won't be able to hook me in and everybody will be happy with my job at Moderna. But the news broke on the first day, maybe even broke a couple days before, you know, for the insiders. And he was like, showed up for work on the first day, and they were like, yeah, no. Tell you what there, Jorge or George, J-O-R-G-E, you need to go ahead and need to go. go ahead and leave that door code card right there on the desk and get out. And he still gets to keep the $700,000. Hopefully he doesn't have to pay a fine from to the other place. But that's not a bad day's work. $700,000? I know. I'd like a gig like that. I mean, that's not really work. One day, your first day, you're settling in, you're getting to know the people, you want to know who's in charge of different departments, you're getting yourself known, getting an idea of what needs to be done for the work, and then, your day's over, you're out, and here's $700,000. Did I mention get out? I did? Okay, yeah, just the doorway's right there. Yeah, don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out. I never quite understood that phrase, because if I'm kicking you out of someplace, I want the door to kick you in the ass. But either way, whether the door hits you, kicks you, whatever, get out. So did you see the super flower blood moon lunar eclipse? So if you're listening live, today is the 16th of May, 2022, and on the 15th of May into a little bit of today, technically, there was the super flower blood moon lunar eclipse that occurred. And there's some great pictures of it from around the world. If you didn't get an opportunity to see it, you can find them on the internet. That's where you find things now. I don't know if the newspaper had any of the pictures of them or not. And my wife, of course, Frame Life Photography was out. She had the perfect place scoped out. She wanted to have it a place where, you know, as the moon was rising and over the church steeple and how between, she's got a place where she takes a couple of shots of the moon. She had it all mapped out. It was beautiful. And, you know, it was all good to go for the super flower blood moon lunar eclipse. And then as it was rising and coming up and just about at the peak up above the church steeple, We had storms coming through here last night, so the cloud cover started pushing over the moon. She was a little tad little angry at Mother Nature. I know she went out and took some lightning shots like she, you know, normally does, but she was a little angry at the old clouds blowing over the super flower moon lunar eclipse. I'm sorry. I apologize to all lunar eclipses. This was the super flower blood moon lunar eclipse. Whew, gotta get that right. Sorry. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it and had fun. Stayed safe. I mean, we had the asteroid pass by us yesterday as well. That was early yesterday, the 15th, Sunday the 15th. It passed by us. Whew. We were lucky to have asteroid 388945 pass by us. That's not the first time it's come by. So it's coming by every couple of years now. And so, you know, just be careful. That's the big one. You know, the New York Empire State Building size. It's also bigger than the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty. It's what they say. I mean, I'm not an asteroid, you know, expert, but I'm just saying that asteroid 388945, you know, passed by us, and whew, we're safe. We're safe right now, and it was possible that we got, you know, a meteor storm, as there was, you know, possible meteor outburst as we passed through the asteroid's debris field. So a lot going on in space. A lot going on in space. Plus, you know, we talked about the space hotel going up like in 2025. So then we have Blue Origin and what's his face? I never can remember. Virgin Galactic with Richard Branson taking space tourists up. Elon doesn't take tourists up. And so, and they're, you know, taking tourists up past the Kármán line. And that's part of their ride. Well, now I read a story where we're going to have space tourism by balloon. And that's going to start happening in a couple years. So according to this, more than half, or at least half, of Americans want to travel to space. Now, if you travel Virgin Galactic or Blue Origin, I mean, you got to have some cash, right? So I think this is the poor man's ride to space. So it's the balloons aren't a rocket launch. It's very gentle. You just leave and you head up into the stratosphere. Oh, and you don't have to have high Gs, or training isn't required. Trips don't release carbon emissions either. So as an environmentalist now, I care about that. A Florida-based company is using hydrogen to power its six-hour journeys. 6 hours. Wow. So you can eat, drink, and walk around during the flight. That is so cool. The rendering of the balloon looks like a family room. So, by the way, I mean, when you take the balloon up, you don't go to the Kármán line. So, you know, it's not clear, you know, could they explode? Yeah, sure. Sure, it could explode, but, you know, that's all right. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We've sent hundreds up and nothing has happened, so don't worry about it. What do you think? It's going to be the Hindenburg all over again? Stop it. That was just a little fly in the ointment. The risk is low for these hydrogen balloons when they're launched, so don't even worry about it. Just pay your, you know, $150,000 and take your six-hour trip. Now, you can already book flights with a $1,000 refundable deposit for space prospective flight. So you're reserving the flight, and if you decide not to, you get your $1,000 back, or at least that's what they say. And that's from the space perspective flight. Now, there's two different companies that are taking reservations for the balloon flights. One, the World View capsule, costs $50,000 a seat. And the space perspective, which is $1,000 refundable reserving of a seat, that one's going to cost you $125,000. All right. And they said all U.S. base flights are sold out in 2024. So you're not going to go past the carbon line, and you're going to be up there. You're going to travel 20 to 25 miles above the earth, and you're going to, you know, enjoy the view. All right. I don't know. You don't get to jump out. I mean, you're not going to be, what was his name? Bumgartner, the skydiver who jumped off the space balloon. That was incredible. I don't know if you remember that. Man, that was, seems like so long ago now, 2012. But that was an amazing jump. I mean, he was on that space balloon and jumped off. Dived back to Earth. It was incredible, man. It was incredible. And he was in the, you know, the helium balloon. And so, I mean, I don't think you're not going to be able to do that. But you will just be able to kick back and enjoy the ride and be up there in kind of space. For only, you know, $50,000 on the cheap one, $125,000 on the little bit more expensive one. Still cheaper than Blue Origin and, what's his faces, Virgin Galactic. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink. Desperately. Huh. Ah, so good. Did you get your CNN Plus welcome package? No, you didn't? Oh, well, darn the luck. So, a week after the CNN Plus streaming service collapsed, the laid-off employees received a welcome package from the network filled with branded gifts and notes. How sweet is that? That's worth some money now, is it? Hundreds of CNN Plus employees that were laid off got their welcoming package. They received gift packages from the network. And the network said, oh, gosh darn it. We're so sorry. That was a mistake. It was an accident. So they got CNN Plus plant pens. They got headphones, food containers, even popcorn makers. No wonder they spent so much damn much money. How about they should have been worried about the content instead of worried about, hey, you know what we need? We need CNN Plus popcorn makers. You know what? Let's spend some money on CNN Plus popcorn makers. Oh, okay. All right. That's a, you know, that's a good idea. They got a little tote bag. I don't know if the popcorn maker, made it into the tote bag. Maybe that was a separate gift. But just incredible. Just amazing. No wonder they failed, but how do I know? I'd like to have a CNN Plus popcorn maker just for the heck of it now. They claim that they brought in 150,000 subscribers with a $5.99 a month subscription fee. I don't believe that. I would think if they had 150,000 paying subscribers at $6 a month, they would have kept it up. I think they would have kept it open. I think that is not a true number. But what do I know? And I didn't get a swag bag from them either, so what the heck do I know? You know, I started watching Outlander on Netflix. It's like, I don't know, it's got like 6 or 7 seasons now, and Netflix has, I think, 5 or 6 of them up. I'd never watched it before. It started back in 2014. I started looking at finding out what the heck, why is it so many, and I don't know about it. I guess it was made for Stars. That's the platform that the show was made on. Netflix, I mean, I'm sure it's a big show. I looked it up. I mean, it's got huge stars in it. They're awesome. And some serious, in season one alone, 16 episodes in season one alone. And there's some pretty intense sex scenes in this show. I mean, holy cow. I'm sure that this show has an intimacy coordinator. To be sure, they are making some money. But I bet you Netflix really pushes this show over the edge. If it's not already, maybe I'm behind the times on The Outlander. But I will say that, you know, she travels, but the premise of the show is that she travels back in time by accident with these stones that make people go back, go to different times in the past. I guess maybe there's nobody, as far as I know, here in season one, no one has gone to the future, but we don't know that. Apparently the history is that you go to these stones and you go back in time. She went back to 1743. She's from 1945. And she ran into another person, another lady, who had time traveled back to this time, although she'd been there for a while. So there are other people. She's not the only one that can travel in time. And she heard this song talking about it and, you know, the history of it. And so, you know, she falls in love and she originally wants to, of course, and wants to get back to 1945, but not really, because she's in love. And, you know, they fight. I mean, some serious, some good violence, some good sex scenes, and some horrible sex scenes as well. In this show. But I'm reminded of when she goes back to 1743 in Scotland. It's how bad the English were to the Scots and how bad they hated the English and their battle with the English to take over Scotland. I mean, I believe that's probably still true to this day. And it reminded so much of what the Redcoats are doing in Scotland. Kind of reminded me of the United States today. Maybe that's just me, but it sure seems like we've got, you know, our government is similar to the Redcoats of that day. But yeah, I could be wrong. You know, who knows? You know, what do I know? I'm just watching a stupid show on Netflix. And speaking of Netflix, you know, the big headline is Netflix, new culture memo, taking a hard line on attempts to silence artistic expression. And I agree with what they said, right? If you do not like working on a particular job that we've asked you to work on, then, you know, maybe Netflix is not the place for you, which is kind of a strange place for Netflix because this is one of those companies that, you know, believed in the, you know, the chickens running the coop. And so, you know, and you can't really have that, right? You just can't have the chickens running the coop. Jeff, isn't it the inmates running the asylum? No, not here on Chewing the Fat. It's chickens running the coop, okay? That's just the way it is. But they talk about that employees may be required to work on projects that they perceive to be harmful and that they have a hard time accepting their work assignment. They might want to consider working somewhere else. And of course, you know, we on our side of the aisle think what a great thing. Hey, that means that, you know, people like Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan and anything that the, you know, the woke culture people working at Netflix don't want to work on. Tough. They have to. But that goes both ways, right? If you're working at Netflix and you don't want to work on a show that is really, really woke, like, I was watching the one show, gosh darn it, what's it called? Oh yeah, Heartstopper. Wow. You want to talk about a show that is woke? Heartstopper. It's based on the graphic novels by Alice Oseman. It tells the story of two British teens at an all-boys grammar school, and the one boy goes to the all-girls grammar school because he turned into a girl. Or, had, you know, it was trans. And I was just, the whole thing is really, really woke. And it's called Heartstopper. Oof. If you are not a fan of woke shows, do not watch Heartstopper. That's what I'm saying. My point is that street for Netflix, laying down the law, could work both ways. You know, it's kind of doubtful that it would work both ways, but it certainly could. And really, I'm kind of okay with it. If you're working at a corporation and your job is to produce a show, or, you know, make it ready to be streamed and how you want to promote it and how you want to tag it and make it available and put it in whatever sections on your site, on your platform that you want to put it in. That's your job. You need to do it to the best of your ability, no matter what the show is. And if you disagree with that, then, you know, take a hike, find another place to work. So I do agree with Netflix on that. And I think I agree with CBS as they canceled some shows this past week. They canceled Magnum P.I., which, okay, it's not Tom Selleck, my friends. They canceled United States of Al. They canceled Be Positive. They canceled Good Sam and How We Roll. So, I know. Magnum P.I. had 5 seasons. So, good luck. God bless. And, you know, we paid the bills for a while, but no longer. So, anyway, dry your eyes for those shows. If you were a fan of Magnum P.I. or United States of Al or Be Positive or Good Sam or How We Roll, it's over. So as I'm looking at who died today, I have a couple stories about people who, well, they didn't die today, but they died a while ago, but they're, you know, we're talking about them. So Fez Marie Watley, who was from the Ron and Ron show 100 years ago in Tampa Bay, and then from 1998 until 2015, co-hosted with Ron Bennington, the Ron and Fez show, passed away in August of last year. He had, you know, his heart finally gave out, according to Ron Bennington, and he had a total of, I guess, 5 heart attacks. I don't, you know, I know they've talked about it on the show, which I didn't listen to for, you know, a number of years, but I mean, he had 5 heart attacks. I'm not a fan of heart attacks. I've had one, and so having 5 Fez, I understand. it's not fun. You can quote me on that. But he was great, and I worked with him, and I worked with him when we worked for Cox Broadcasting, and he was working on Ron and Ron, and then he was working with Hooters on the radio, and we were doing bits during the afternoon show together. It was just, you know, it was a fun time back in, I don't know, the 90s, I guess that's when it was. Who remembers time? But apparently they're having a memorial service for him coming up this weekend, Sunday, May 22nd, in Pinellas Park, Florida, for those of you in Tampa Bay. And apparently they needed a bigger place because too many people are wanting to come. So the venue is being moved to the Pinellas Park Performing Arts Center. And you can contact Tammy Hiller for information, 727-647-0795, if you wanted to go. If you're in Tampa Bay and you wanted to go to the memorial service and pay your respects to Fez Watley, or Todd Hiller was his real name, his off-air name, you can do so this Sunday from 1 to 4 at the Pinellas Park Performing Arts Center. I just wanted, I'm sorry, rest in peace, Fez. You know, he was a funny, funny man, and I'm very sad, and I wish I could be there. I'll be there in spirit, and just if you could go and pay your respects, do so. But Fez Marie Watley, dead at 57 years of age. Okay, so we also got an announcement from Britney Spears over the weekend on her Instagram account, and Britney is saying that she is no longer expecting. This post, signed Sam and Britney, that it is with our deepest sadness that we have to announce that we have lost our miracle baby early in the pregnancy. This is a devastating time for any parent. Perhaps we should have waited to announce until we were further along. However, we were overly excited to share the good news. Our love for each other is our strength. We will continue trying to expand our beautiful family. We are grateful for all of your support. We kindly ask for privacy during this difficult moment. And remember, it was last week, right? She was talked about being in bed with a headache and couldn't get out of bed. And so, you know, that may have had something to do with it. Now, I know many of you, not me, because it's a horrible thing losing a child, okay? And it would not be me to say that, to ask the question, you know, look, I know you were posting pictures of yourself nude before you were pregnant. You know, and so, you know, far be it from me, these people that are saying, hey, was she ever pregnant at all? That's not me. That's other people asking that question. And how dare you think that Britney would just say that she was pregnant and not be. It'd be and be wrong. So stop saying it. Then we have another tragic story about a mom suing TikTok after her daughter died from playing the blackout challenge on TikTok. Now, it's a tragic story. And the mother is suing TikTok. Her daughter died from attempting the dangerous stunt called the blackout challenge. She found out about it on the app. Tawania Anderson said that her daughter, Nyla, was rushed to the hospital after attempting the challenge, which encourages users to choke themselves until passing out. She was in an intensive care unit for several days before she died. Now, her lawsuit, filed in the U.S. District Court of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, Anderson says her daughter heard about the challenge from TikTok's For You page, which serves users videos based on an algorithm. TikTok's algorithm determined that the deadly blackout challenge was well-tailored and likely to be of interest to the 10-year-old, and she died as a result. Before she died, she was an active, happy, healthy, incredibly intelligent child, and she spoke three languages. I'm very sad that this happened, okay? And the suit named several reports that found social media could negatively affect young children, especially their mental health. The algorithm the suit alleges takes into account users' demographics, including age, that preys upon vulnerable users, such as children, who are thrust into a never-ending dopamine feedback loop, which creates addiction and a compelling urge to engage further in the TikTok defendant's app. I don't necessarily disagree with that. However, I was under the impression that there was an age limit on TikTok of being 13 years old. Oh, wait, I didn't mention this girl was 10 years old? I'm sorry. She was only 10 years old. What is she doing on TikTok at 10 years old? I'm sorry. Now, I know it's a horrible thing that happened, and it should not have happened, but I hate to be, where were the parents? But where were the parents? I want to know. Because I'm pretty sure that TikTok has an age demo of no one younger than 13 years of age. So if you have a TikTok account and you're under that age, that means that you have lied, right? You have an email account, your mother or your parents or your older sisters or brothers help you to get an email account so that you can have access. And I'm not sure exactly, I know that to be true with some other apps. I don't know exactly the process for TikTok, but I know that I've read that you have to be 13 years old. Now, I get it. You know, people lie and do stuff all the time. But if you lie to get on the app and then do something terrible because of the app, that's not really the app's fault. You weren't supposed to be there. But in today's world, I'm sure it'll be TikTok's fault. And you know what? They're from, you know, it's a Chinese app, so I almost don't care. But I do, I mean, it's ridiculous that we're blaming an app for an issue that shouldn't have been an issue because she shouldn't have been on the app to begin with. So, like I said, I hate to be where were the parents, but where were the parents? So, in the world of aviation, we know that Boeing now is moving out of Chicago. We've had enough. Sure, it's a beautiful town, especially this time of year. It is beautiful. And man, do we love the mayor and the entire administration of the city of Chicago. But you know what? Arlington, Virginia is the place for me. So we're moving out of Chicago. They said Boeing, Virginia is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the plane and they moved to Arlington. Yeah, so where it doesn't really work, but they got the hell out of Chicago. We're excited to build on our foundation here in Northern Virginia, said the CEO of Boeing, Dave Calhoun. The region makes strategic sense for our global headquarters. Sure, we've been in Chicago for 20-some years, I think since 2001, so it has been 20 years. But we're still going to have people there. It's not like we're just completely moving out of Chicago. We're leaving a couple of hundred employees, you know, for the region, but we need to have our global corporate headquarters someplace else, and that's going to be Virginia. Okay, all right. So, I mean, Boeing is out. Have a nice day. We're getting out of Chicago. And, you know, you read between the lines, it's like we've had enough of the crime. We don't like it. And we have, you know, a good business partnership with the administration, you know, in the state of Virginia with Governor Youngkin. And they also probably got some good tax benefits. And they're also close to home, right? I mean, they make a lot of money from the government, and they make a lot of money from the military contracts, so they need to be close to Washington, closer to Washington, D.C. than Chicago. And so I'm sure, you know, because the CEO couldn't live in Virginia and keep the company in Chicago. That can't happen. I don't know if you know that. That just cannot happen. So goodbye, Chicago. Have a nice day. Congratulations to Southwest Airlines, as they say they're going to unveil more powerful Wi-Fi and expanded overhead storage. Yay! So we had the Hawaiian Airlines saying they're going to give free internet with Starlink from Elon. And so now these other airlines are like, you know, we probably do need to do something with the Wi-Fi. People like to use the internet on our airplanes. You think? And they don't want to pay $8 billion to maybe stream a movie, okay? We want to get on and be able to... we can't have them on while we're taking off or landing, though. I mean, because we just can't. It's bad. Okay, whatever. Fine. And they're also going to have a space bins. That's what they're calling. It's the new addition to the 737 MAX fleet. So the new bins will add 50% more storage. That's interesting. That's interesting because the carry-on bags on Southwest, Southwest still, the bags fly free, right? And so that means they're probably going to start charging for luggage and your carry-on will be free, which is, okay, because no checking. I mean, if you could fly without checking, I'm all for it. Absolutely. I mean, to be able to get on and off the plane, if you fly domestic, if you're not flying private, you know, if you fly domestic, to be able to just get on and off is the way to go. And to have to check bags and go down and get your luggage and hope that it's there. And they do a pretty good, I mean, everybody complains about losing their luggage, but I mean, the millions of pieces of luggage that get transported through domestic airlines every day, they do a pretty darn good job of getting your luggage to where it belongs. So, they've got to add some room on the upgrade. Plus, they talk about the 737 MAX is going to have USB-A and USB-C ports at every seat by the end of the year. Nice. That's nice there. We can charge it up, so... You know, good luck. I mean, you won't be able to do that while we're landing or taking off, though, because that'll take away from the airline. If that's true, they need to fix that issue. So, I don't know. I guess you're going to be able to get some more drinks and watch, you know, if you've got Wi-Fi, stronger Wi-Fi, you'll be able to, you know, stream your own stuff instead of having to pay $8 million for a two-hour flight to be able to have internet, maybe. So congratulations to all the airlines, including Southwest, for, you know, upping the modernization of your airlines. And that only comes at a time when there's a pilot shortage. That's it, though. There's just not enough pilots to fly. So, you know, you probably wait for a while at the airline. Yeah, we got this flight scheduled, but you know what? We're out of pilots. So you have to sit there and wait till we get a pilot for you. Wait, what? Yeah, during COVID... they went ahead and said, hey, we'd like to save some money, so why don't you pilots retire and get out of here? So, and they did. And so now they're sweating it. And they're saying, well, you know, we could probably hire some pilots in Australia. And we heard from American Airlines, who now are using bus tickets. I guess there's more bus drivers than airline pilots. Especially in the Northeast Corridor, Just take a bus. Don't worry about taking a plane. Well, just take a bus. We've got a United Airlines bus line you can take. Oh, okay. Sure. No problem. And they talk about some of the other requirements that they have for the pilots. They required a 4-year degree from the pilot hiring requirements at Delta, which is now, you know what? No, you don't need to have that 4-year degree. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Get out of here. And how many hours are you supposed to fly before we can make you a United Airlines pilot? Yeah, you're fine. Did you fly enough in the military? Yeah, okay, you get out of here. Don't worry about it. The airlines are trying to hire more than 12,000 pilots. Wow. Okay, good luck. God bless. Really, seriously, good luck. God bless. I don't know. I guess you go to some of the pilots that retired too and say, you try to give them a deal, which will ultimately pay for as taxpayers, because they'll say, well, you can still have your retirement, come back and double dip, and we'll let you fly so many hours and make this money, and you can still keep your retirement money. Yeah, it's just me, though. I'm not working out a deal for them. I just know what's coming. Of course, the government will have to help, which means you and I are going to be paying for it, because we're broke. We had to hire all these pilots that retired, and now we have to pay them their retirement, plus we have to pay them to fly again. We need help from the government, and they will get it. So, all right, fine, no problem. I mean, we gotta have pilots. We don't want people crashing into bridges. I know last week we were all happy because a air traffic controller guy talked a guy into a landing that couldn't fly the plane because the pilot had some sort of health event. And then this past weekend, we saw where an airplane crashed into a bridge in Miami and it hurt. I mean, holy cow, 6 people were injured, and there were no fatalities that had been reported, but probably I think we're going to end up having some fatalities. Who knows? But it was a single engine Cessna. And it lost engine power and landed on the bridge. And the damage was amazing to see the footage, of it burning and rescuing and running away from the plane and smashing into a car. Just incredible footage. But the thing that ticked me off the most, and it's just from being in Florida for a long time, I get that, it's on a bridge and we have to close it and it's a crash scene and everything. But following the crash, a 3-mile stretch along the bridge route was closed in both directions. How pissed off would you be? Oh my gosh. Just bring in the sweepers, pick up the plane, move the car off to the side. Let's get the traffic flowing again. But no, we have to shut it down 3 miles in both directions. Holy cow. I would be so angry. I'm sorry that the plane crashed. I'm sorry that there was damage, but we need to get traffic flowing. So let's go.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.